We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go.
Afternoons on The Score.
So you and Mark Grody shared a room
in
rehab?
We didn't share a room, no.
He had the room after I had the room.
Get a room, you two.
This house, it was a big, nice house.
Beautiful in the woods.
Yeah, I had only two people sharing the house with me when I was there.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I had a bunch
of
heroin addicts with me.
Yeah, well, we had it. We both knew Eric.
Yeah, poor Eric. Yeah.
We're from Alcoholics Anonymous.
What's your name?
Well, we're anonymous.
He got kicked out.
Yeah, you're not allowed to buy heroin.
It seems like a good rule.
We called the house Bushwood because it was country clubbish.
Wow.
And they said, they really kicked Eric out. And I said, in Judge Smale's voice, without hesitating,
let's face it, son. Some people simply do not belong.
Grody moved out on a Friday afternoon, I believe, and I moved in Sunday afternoon into his room. I took his room.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You want to go do karate in the garage?
Yep.
That's so beautiful.
Grody was here, etched into the wall.
I don't like it here. I'm tired of being afraid all the time.
I wanted to stay longer.
They have group therapy in rehab. One day, a new guy came in the group, and he sits down. And Angie goes, why don't you tell the rest of the group what brought you here today? I kidnapped my best friend's baby and sold it for angel dust. Then he sat down. That was followed by the longest pause in the history of man. Then this is exactly what the counselor said. Angie took a sip of coffee, and she goes like this. Artie, feedback?
Yo! Saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, new in the afternoons, 1 to 6, on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Artie Lang. Hilarious. Welcome in, McNeil and Parkins on The Score. Busy show we got today. Jeff Passan at 3, Pick a Player 340, Brent Musburger at 4. Terry Bores at 5:30.
My original partner here at The Score when we fired it up back in January of 92. We worked together between then and August of 99.
It's a long run.
Yeah. It was a good run.
92
it should have been longer.
I think most people in town who listen to that show would agree.
Yeah. You ever feel like that about a show? Should have been longer?
Yeah. I've felt that way before about a show.
Like about 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, believe it or not. I've had that feeling about a show before.
I overstand.
Yeah, but would you set our over-under at the Heavy Fuel Crew?
8 years is a long time.
Yeah.
I think five at least. That's my ambition.
Five at least is your ambition.
That's my ambition.
I'll take
Maybe
it.
More.
Maybe more.
If it's an all-timer, which I have the conviction it has the potential to be.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can get you to hang around.
Jeez.
What's wrong?
Don't put it all on me. You're the one doing national radio gigs on the weekend, spreading your wings.
It's true. Tomorrow, 1 to 5.
God, you're on again this weekend. Danny National.
Yeah, that's true.
You got big ambitions, boy.
I mean, just, you know.
You don't have starry eyes for National, do you? National's boring.
National is a little boring.
There's no feeling of fraternity in national radio.
Right. I agree completely.
How many guys are even in the same studio? Most of those guys work remote, don't they?
I mean, I'm working.
Obviously, you are.
Yeah, the guys who are working. I mean, the guys who do it for their main job are all in the same spot. The shows during the week, whether they're based out of L.A. or they're based out of New York, the lineup for CBS Sports Radio is there. CBS Sports Radio doesn't clear in a ton of markets during the week. You know, it's behind ESPN Radio and Fox Sports Radio in terms of prestige and all that. But I've never hosted nationally and diversify, you know, the old resume, make me more valuable to the company, Mac. Little thing to fall back on. I don't know if you've noticed about our industry. It could be a little volatile.
Yeah, from time to time it is.
Changes can happen unexpectedly.
The first Saturday I did national for the Bristolians, I went out there a bunch in the winter, early spring of 01. To prove to him I wasn't completely crazy and hopefully, you know, getting designs on the local job. That's why I was going out there to do the national jobs. But, you know, 2 hours in, and you can't help. This is a long time ago, too. When you stand in the lobby at ESPN for the first time, the one you've seen on all the commercials with the Met mascot and Linda Cohn and everything, your knees weaken a little bit. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was, but we plug it in and go on the air, and you see the map of the United States with little dots on all the stations you're beaming out to that night. You think, that's pretty cool. 2 hours later, I'm feeling, where's the community here? Where is the common interest? I would have rather flown to Boston to do shows on a Boston station, or Detroit to talk about what Lions fans want to do before the draft. That would have been more fun.
There are very few exceptions to what you're talking about, but obviously it has been done, right? Jim Rome built an empire off of making people in the jungle feel like they were a part of his national community. I would argue the Dan Le Batard show right now has absolutely achieved that. Howard Stern has built a community as a national show. So it's very, very, very tough to do. Maybe Dan Patrick a little bit, but more so he just has monster guests, a different kind of show. But the absolute best of the best national shows can achieve that sense of community.
It's difficult.
That you're talking. And I would say almost impossible. You could be really successful as a national show. You could be Mike and Mike. You could be in the Radio Hall of Fame, have a nearly 20-year run.
Preppy and Pork Chop.
And no one walks around being like, you know what my favorite radio show is? Mike and Mike. Like, I've never once met that person. So it's a...
Oh, I have.
You have?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I never have. I mean, I have a hard time believing that exists, but...
Have you ever been to one of their broadcasts in town?
No.
Get there early. Well, they're no longer...
It'd be a little tough now.
Yeah, it would be. Now there's no lines, no waiting. No, we did shows in Wrigleyville. I don't know if it was with Spiegs or it was the old afternoon saloon. But they were broadcasting in Wrigleyville and just walking. But the people lined up outside. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Green and Gold Nation was large.
Okay.
I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good at what they did. I just didn't really love what they did.
Yeah. No, I mean, it wasn't for, I guess I just never got the sense from that show that it would be the thing that would tremendously like conjure up loyalty of a fan base. So I guess that's surprising. But when you're on in all those cities, it probably isn't too hard to get a few people who would find the loyalty there. But I'm with you. I'm not trying to leave anytime soon. I want to have my own 25-year anniversary at The Score. I got big dreams here.
And good.
So, but you know, they call, they ask. What am I going to say? No. I'm going to fill in nationally a couple times. Like I did it last Sunday. I'm doing it this Saturday. And then no other dates as of now on the schedule. But, you know, got to have fallback plans.
1 to 5 tomorrow?
1 to 5 Central.
So time. You're going to walk, you're going to build a bridge to the... to the gates opening at Churchill Downs.
That's correct. I think, I don't know what the big topics are yet. I'll figure that out tonight and tomorrow morning.
I'd do some derby if I were you.
You do a little
now,
derby?
You do what you want.
Yeah.
But on the first Saturday in May every year at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a sports outlet, local or national, I'd be doing derby.
Fair, except I don't know much about handicapping.
Well, also with that, though, like... The Derby's awesome because you sit down, you watch it for 2 minutes. Heck, I'm going to Arlington tomorrow, going to make a day out of it. It's going to be a blast. I don't know a damn thing about horse racing. I'm not going to pretend to. I'm going to go bet on this thing like I know what's going to happen in it, even though I don't, and I'll make a donation in that way. But, like, talking about the Derby, it almost feels like that hockey argument we have of, like, oh, talk hockey because it's going on and, like, forcing that part of it to some people when it's happening. But outside of Eddie O, outside of Terry Bors, how many of us know a damn thing about any of these horses?
I know.
That's my feeling, too.
Like a sophomore. I lettered as a freshman, and I'm like a sophomore, even though I've been going to the Derby for a dozen plus years. But that goofy agate we teased Shep for printing out yesterday.
Yeah.
A little synopsis.
I had to make it. The size was big enough for you to read.
It was right. This is why it took 3 pages, including the backs of 2 of them. That was ample. That's all I needed. You put that in front of you.
Maybe then you're like plagiarizing other people's thoughts.
It's not plagiarism. It's just a couple of notes. The 7 horse did not race as a 2-year-old. That's the favorite. It's trained by Bob Baffert. He's one of the best in the world.
I will.
That's always like talking point number one, Derby week. Bob Baffert, best trainer in the world. Go with his horse. Hope he doesn't get stuck on the rail or on the 20 spot.
Yeah, Shep, throw a horse at me. Do you have one in
Man of War. Oh, wait.
Man of War.
Seabiscuit got him.
That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, I can fake it till I make it. Oh, tough.
How the hell do you get a horse
from
Ireland to here ready to race?
Well, it's even more interesting than that. They fly them. They put them in a plane.
At 4 o'clock tomorrow on CBS Radio, let everybody know that Mendelssohn got here via airplane.
I will let the country know. I will let Lima, Oklahoma, and West Texas, and all the markets that I'm on tomorrow afternoon, I will let them know. And then you just fake it till you make it, right? Like, oh, tough draw for the one horse on the rail. It's tough to win on the rail. You think it's the shortest part around the track, but you can get squeezed out there. And I like a closer, personally, but if it rains, you got to know about the mutters, because his mutter was a mutter, and then it's all about lineage.
Of course.
So I can,
his grandsire is? You ever heard that term?
Yeah, of course. It's a horse racing term. So I can fake it till I make it, but I mean, you know, I'll probably talk about the NBA Finals.
Well, you should.
Probably talk a little bit about Jason Witten, if he's going to be a Hall of Famer, the Monday
Finals
night broadcast.
Finals or just playoffs in general? Already calling it Cavs and Warriors?
Oh, I think that'll be a topic. Are we going to get year four of Cavs and Warriors? Would that be a bad thing for the NBA?
It somehow end in three if we do.
Right. Yeah, exactly right.
It wouldn't be a bad thing.
To get it 4 years
ago. Cavs and Warriors? No.
No.
Because people want to see James.
Yeah, and the league has been built on dynasties, and right now there are two dynasties going, the Warriors and LeBron.
That's it.
Yeah, this feels like a topic for national radio, but that's not why you called. Yes, I'm doing that tomorrow. I will not be leaving you anytime soon unless someone fires me. Those are the only ways, as of now, that I plan on leaving. The Derby. It is on my bucket list. You've been. Should it be?
I think so. And there are bucket list things that don't live up to expectations. I mentioned before, and the Big House in Ann Arbor, to me, is one of the most overrated venues in America. There's nothing special about it. There's something special about that dumpy Churchill Downs experience. And I think it has going for it when it falls on the calendar. What have we all complained about for the first month of baseball season?
The weather.
Weather. First Saturday in May in Louisville is usually pretty nice. So you go to an outdoor event, whether you're in the infield very affordably, and you can get away with this trip pretty inexpensively if you do it right, or if you pay for a seat to sit in the grandstands. The colors, the history, even just $50 for an infield seat, when you walk through the tunnel and there's just this mass cavalcade of people rushing to the infield, you can't help but feel it's kind of a cool event.
Are the infield seats GA?
There are no seats. Yeah, you got to take your folding chairs. They'll let you take a folding chair. They'll let you take blankets. They check. I mean, security, they should check in this day and age. But they let you bring in things.
Okay.
Yeah, it's reasonable. And if you get an RV, if you can stomach three buddies in an RV for a couple of overnights, that's the cheapest way to do it.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe that would be the cheapest way to do it. But I mean,
I don't mind doing that. I've got good friends that one of them kisses me on the lips and I don't find it offensive. So I don't mind traveling with three buddies in closed quarters for a weekend.
Sure. I would probably prefer a cheap hotel and share rooms that way.
Like Lambeau Field, book it now.
Yeah.
For next year. First Saturday in May. Guaranteed.
That's when it's going to be?
Yep.
Wow. You know so much.
Infield seat-wise, though, like how much of the actual horse racing do you see?
There's really no seat that you can see on a track that big. I suppose if you were up high center cut, you might. But even people up there look
like
at the jumbo
track. Even when
track.
They go by you, essentially,
yeah, first
you
turn,
see?
I usually camp out first turn. That's usually, but there's enough jumbotron. There's ample jumbotronage.
Where's the best party? Like, where's the people watching?
In the infield. And at the fairgrounds 2 miles away. If you do the RV, and this is another thing, $30 for the weekend to park your RV and get an electrical charge for your RV. $30 for a powered spot to park.
Can't beat it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
So, I mean, now the vehicle's probably going to cost you a dime.
Yeah.
Maybe $1,500.
Sure. But it's split it among four,
yeah,
six people.
Split among four guys. That's cheaper than hotel rooms for two nights.
Sure.
If you stay two nights.
And what, 6 hour drive?
From here, about 6 hours.
Okay.
Pretty quick shot down I-65.
What places like would you say bucket list that you've done? Like, so I've done Madison Square Garden. I've done Notre Dame Stadium. Like, what bucket list trips would you say that you've done? Because I haven't done the Masters. I haven't done the Derby.
Yeah, I haven't done the Masters either. I had a chance a few years ago, and a silly program director pulled it.
But you're not bitter about that.
No, not at all. 1997 called. They want my grudges back.
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden was okay.
Yeah. I was there for a Big East tournament. I saw the 6-0 overtime Syracuse-UConn game there, and it was just, probably the second greatest sporting event I've been to.
Yeah, well, we took the show out there. Speaks and I went out there in 2012 in February and snapped the Blackhawks franchise record losing streak against the Rangers. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Wasn't that a franchise? I think they'd lost 9 or 10 straight.
Yeah, like they'd get their ass kicked by Edmonton twice. They gave up like 9 or 10 goals or something the night before or a couple nights before.
Yeah.
And end of the road trip, I want to say.
They put 3 of them past the very handsome Henrik Lundqvist in the first frame.
Have you ever done an SEC football game?
Yeah, I've been to Alabama, which is outstanding, and I've been to the Swamp. Gainesville is great.
I'd imagine.
That's what I want to do. Like, SEC, I vote for that this fall.
I mean, I'm in.
Powers that be, whether it's LSU, Bama, Florida, one of those.
Well,
sign me up, Georgia, get between the hedges.
Yeah, the football trip I've always wanted to do is LSU at night into Saints game the next day. And do the double dip. So you could do, French Quarter. You could do Bourbon Street. You could do New Orleans. You could go, do a jazz club or something like that. And then
they're reasonably close too. It's less than a 2-hour drive between Baton Rouge and New Orleans.
And so you just got to get lucky with the college football slate that because the times only come out, 13 days before for when the time of the game is going to be. But you go to a big LSU game and you hope you get the night game.
Yeah.
So you could tailgate all day in Baton Rouge.
We did a Florida trip in 02 that was a good double dip too. We did the show Friday in Tampa. Saturday morning made the 3-hour drive to Gainesville, Florida State. Mm. Shane Matthews got tickets for the show. Name dropper. And the next day we had Bears and Buccaneers at Raymond James Stadium. And that's an awesome stadium too.
Yeah, I've never been.
It's a very good place to see a game.
Never been to that one.
Best field in the NFL. Ask anybody who's ever played in the NFL.
Raymond James Stadium?
Yes, that is the best playing surface in the league.
How have they not automated this at this point? Shouldn't every
it's a great question.
Like every field should be
Don't
the same.
Ask Ted Phillips. He can't get it right.
All right, I have our November trip planned out for us. Saturday, November 3rd, Tiger Stadium, Baton Rouge, Alabama, and LSU.
Roll down Tide.
Got a kick time?
No, kick time yet. We would assume that one would be the CBS night game. I would fully assume on that.
Well, no, I mean, that you run the risk. CBS. I mean, that could be the best game, and so CBS, that's the CBS 230 game.
230 locally,
which is fine. I mean, obviously, that'd be a great game, but or that'll be the night game. There's no way that's an
LSU
11 o'clock.
LSU is, they almost always play it. I'd be shocked if that wasn't the night game.
Should be a
the
night game.
The only LSU 11 o'clock games are against Troy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then the next day, the Rams are in New Orleans on the 4th of November. So you get to see our pick for NFC champs this year.
Mm.
I don't know. I just made that as our NFC pick there for the show.
I like it.
I do too.
I haven't done LSU yet, and I've wanted to.
I'm in. That'd be fun. I mean, that's not Bears bye week by any chance, is it?
I can check on that.
Kind of tough to go to an NFL game opposite
When would the World
Bears.
Series wrap up if that was a thing?
Why worry about what the Bears are doing?
Well, I mean, I'd like to watch the Bears game.
You can watch them Monday morning. We're not on the air until 1.
Oh, that's
this is afternoon drive, Parco.
What?
Bears are week 5, so it should be done by then.
Okay, yeah. All right, fine. I'm in. Let's go to
I'm
New Orleans.
I'm in, too.
All right.
Tailgate and Baton Rouge?
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, Bears are at Buffalo. Pass on that one.
Tatanka.
Watch the replay.
Okay. We'll watch the replay in the morning. Look at us planning bucket list trips on the show.
But go to the Derby if you get the chance. It lives up to expectation. It's reasonably affordable unless you get stupid at the window. That's the test right there.
Well, you can do anything affordable unless you get stupid when you get there. You know what I mean? You can get a cheap airfare. You can do Airbnb. You could stay with friends.
Well, you're at a place where you could just literally give away money every 35 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could spend money in a lot of places. People are like, I can do Vegas really cheap. Yeah. I mean, you can stay in a bad hotel. You can get cheap airfare. But all of a sudden, 30 minutes at the tables, it can turn into a real expensive trip.
There is a lot of time between the preliminary races, too, and the Derby. Some intervals as short as 30 minutes. I think the interval between the last race before the Derby and the Derby, that's like an hour and a half. I don't know how many times I've gone back to the window, a second, a third time.
Sure.
To, well, you know, I didn't consider this combination.
I'm just
30
passing
minutes
time
ago.
Here. Yeah.
I know you can only screw and drink so much. No, I've never done either. There.
Never done either. That seems unlikely.
At the Derby, no. I was quoting Slapshot. Zazer got that on his drive home.
My bad.
That's quoting Johnny Upton's wife.
You know, that's one of the ones that just, I saw it, I laughed, never watched it again.
You have no desire to see it again?
I saw it once, it was funny, I get it. And I love so many movies from that era, so many comedies. For whatever reason, that was one that just didn't stick with me as much. Yeah. You know, now that I'm actually working with you, I should give it another spin.
It doesn't matter to me if you do or you don't. But I would like to be given information on more recent comedies that I might not have, that might have slipped through the cracks.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen anything produced in the last few years that's been gutbuster funny. It's a dinosaur.
Okay. I'll give you a list. There's not that many. Danny, you're killing me.
That's good.
That's really good. I'll come up with a list. I'm going to do my top 100. And you, will you bring it in, please, by the way? Your top 100 movie list?
Sure.
I want to see it.
Sure.
That's a tremendous
piece. No, you don't.
I do. That's a lot of work.
Who cares what a waffling dinosaur thinks?
It's McNeil and Park. It's on the score.
Entitled to.
It's a dinosaur.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
According to our Adam Schefter, Walker tested positive for amphetamines. The drug can be used to increase stamina and alertness, while Pro Football Talk says Walker popped the recreational drug Molly while he was at the Kentucky Derby.
I believe the latter instead of the former.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
If you remember Wes Welker at the Derby that year.
I had a radio producer a few years ago offer me Adderall. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I'm too old to try new things, and it's about time I started giving up old things.
Sure.
I've never done that. I've never done Molly.
Well, they're very different.
Right. I know they're different.
Okay.
But can you enlighten me as to what Molly is?
MDMA. Ecstasy.
That says nothing to me. Ecstasy.
Ecstasy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is kind of...
You're rolling, you're hallucinating.
Trippy.
Trippy, colors blending together, losing space, frying your brain, that sort of thing. Touchy-feely, your sense of touch is greatly enhanced. People love going to dance clubs and the glow
right,
sticks.
Right, right. This is your Beatles cartoon trip.
Yeah, or just,
it's a movie made in this century.
Or just laying out in a field somewhere. Not my thing, never tried it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, just plenty of friends who did. I've never done anything where you lose. I've never tripped. Never did the magical mushroom or ecstasy or Molly or anything like that. I've never hallucinated. Just never.
Consider me stunned.
Yeah, I believe you. Plenty of people around me, plenty of opportunities. Just it always freaked you out. Like the idea of a bad trip just scared me because, you know, the loss of complete control was not something I was interested in.
I never had a bad trip. There was a texter who, but that was like 1984, the last time.
Yeah.
Long time before your dad and Michael Jordan's dad got killed.
Yeah, 15 years before Jurassic Park was released.
Not related to Wes Welker and his Molly experience at the Derby. A texter, a couple of them have suggested the porta potty jumping, which I've talked before about, at the Kentucky Derby, which they've made illegal. Do yourself a favor. Google porta potty jumping at some point this weekend, and you will find some fantastic video of stupid human tricks. Guys who run from one end to the top of the porta johns all the way to the other while spectators pelt them with beer cans and beer bottles.
Wow.
It is a hysterical experience.
Okay.
I haven't participated in it. I've watched it.
Okay, I didn't know.
But they made it illegal, I think 2011, they stopped it. And we were bummed out. We saw there were a bunch of cops right by all the urinals in the infield.
Yeah.
Nobody was allowed to do it. But the weekend was saved because there was some rain and some college girls decided to mud wrestle.
Oh.
So that made up for the absence of porta potty jumping.
little ox and stripes.
Oh yeah,
type of
yeah,
scene.
Trying to keep it in this century.
Sure. Well,
your musical reference.
No.
Trying to keep it relatable for me.
1977 to 1984 comedies. I got. Yeah. I could really reference them. Like Trading Places, Coming to America, Stripes, Animal House,
Slapshot was 77 too.
I know. It's what I'm saying. Like from that era, there's just a few that like I've seen. I understand. I appreciate for what they were for the era, but they didn't. They didn't really catch me. Fletch would be another one.
I didn't get that either. I don't need to see that ever again.
Okay, I see what it is.
A texter suggesting you should spark a ball and try Slapshot again.
I'll like I said.
That's motivation enough for the lad.
I will try it because I'm working with you. I remember when I was interning on Mac, Yurko, and Harry, you gave out Caddyshack tests.
I didn't do a Caddyshack test. I did a Slapshot test for the three producers.
I thought it was a Caddyshack test because Zetterman hadn't seen it. Am I misremembering that?
What a shock.
Am I misremembering that?
That might be right, okay. But long before then.
Danny, this isn't Russia. Is this Russia? This isn't Russia.
The guys who were producing the show had never seen it, and they're going to, with a bunch of old guys, they're going to be hearing Slapshot quoted all the time. I thought it was important they knew the movie.
Sure.
Since they were doing the opens and doing all the magical sound things.
So you
so only... they needed to learn the movie. So I had them, I gave them a month, and then I gave them a test. And if they didn't pass it with 75% or better, they had to retake it.
Okay. It's tough.
Simple enough.
You know, tough but fair. Tough but fair.
I don't know if that's tough. You got to watch Slapshot and take a test on it?
Pass a test? What are you, a teacher? I didn't get into radio to take more tests.
I wasn't going to make anybody take it again.
That's why we're in radio, not good test takers here on this side of the fucking
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I owed points on my SATs.
But I thought I remembered a Caddyshack one. I don't remember if I took
that
it.
That might be right.
Yeah. Is that not right there for you with Slapshot? Or is that on a different
level? No, they're same level.
Same level
that's of enjoyment for me, sure.
I thought I remembered that.
Sure. Some of the texters loving the Jurassic Park music. The drawers are wet out there.
People saying, oh, Parkins, you're a real square, no hallucinogens. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never done it.
Shame on you for never stepping out there.
Didn't do LSD.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. It's not for everybody.
No, it's just, you know, did some stuff, didn't do others. Everyone has those things in their life, right? Cubs and Cardinals coming up this weekend. I'm not going to put big series on it. I will tell you the one thing I'd like to see. And our first VSiN update is coming up in just a little bit. You'll hear it before Jeff Passan at 3 on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And that's how it's going to be done. Welcome back in. McNeil and Parkins on the Score. This segment brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. Jeff Passan normally on Wednesdays at 3. He'll join us on Friday, which is today, at 3 because we had a Cubs day game there. I enjoyed that VSiN update.
I did too. I love the fact that the VSiN people localized it for you so you understand that the Cubs are even money tonight, basically, and the White Sox are getting a decent price. If you believe what you've seen from Carson Fulmer lately, the Sox at plus 140 to plus 160 are a good move.
There you go. And then, your first time hearing that?
What?
That VSiN update?
Yes, it is.
I didn't know if you had heard it off air. Yeah,
I had not heard it.
No, me too. And no, that was good. It was good that it was localized. You're going to hear that every day between in the 2 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour at some point. And then Brent Musburger will join us normally Thursdays at 4, but he's going to join us today at 4 o'clock to talk Derby, but that's cool what they're building out there.
And you listeners have no obligation to invest any of your earnings.
Of course.
In any of this.
Oh, of course. Here's the thing about gambling that people, because I understand that some people will say it's not for me or that we even will talk about it too much because it's something that both you and I like. I actually understand and would say that's an understandable criticism, but what I always say about gambling is think of it as a market, right? Even if you don't bet ever for moral reasons, monetary reasons, thinks it's dumb, whatever, all it is, it's a market of expected outcomes for the sports that you like.
That's That's right.
So, you know what I mean?
That's right.
So just like a stock market where people will short something or be long on something or buy or sell or whatever, it's the exact same thing with an over-under is an expectation of how many runs are going to be scored in a game, how many points are going to be in the Bears game this weekend and all that. So is it going to be high scoring? Is it going to be low scoring? It's indicative of the weather conditions and the quality of the opponent's defense and all sorts of things. So even if you don't care to wager on it, even having a cursory understanding of the spreads gives you a good idea of how big of a favorite someone is, how big of an underdog, how much of a surprise it would be if the underdog wins, all those sorts of things. So I find it very informative just from a market standpoint, even if you never make a wager.
Okay.
Just a little PSA.
I'm good. All right.
A little PSA for people about gambling programming.
Who need a defense for it?
Yeah.
Do you feel you need a defense for it?
No, a little bit. I mean, I don't even know if it's defensive. Like, it's a justification for why it's there. And, oh, by the way, the legality of it is coming. Like, I don't know.
It's close.
I don't know. Squeaky. I don't know if this round of the Supreme Court is going to be the thing that happens. But, like, with, I will say, 100% certainty, I will be hosting a radio show when it is federally legal and sports gambling is legal everywhere.
And I don't think anybody cares anymore. I don't think that the public has a moral conflict with sports wagering at this point. Now, when we started this radio station, that wasn't the case. Management was very sensitive to how much time we spent talking about it. Incredibly.
I believe you. And now it's on College Game Day, and it's on the most
mainstream
of platforms. And it's a market set by the sharp bettors in Vegas for their opinion of what the spread should be. And then the Vegas Sportsbook hopes to get action on both sides.
More important for people to worry about what this country is going to do about the accessibility of the AR-15 versus whether I like Carson Fulmer at plus 140.
One has much more life or death consequences than the other. Absolutely. For the purposes of sports wagering, I'm thinking they're going to make a little bit more progress on sports gambling than they are on that issue a little bit sooner. Call me a cynic and let the record show that it was Dan McNeil that brought up that issue and not your bleeding heart liberal favorite radio host, me. Cubs and Cardinals this weekend, for me, just score some runs. It's not a big series. I'm not overly concerned about the Cardinals. There was a good column by Paul Sullivan, I thought, in the paper where he's quoting Mike Matheny, who said, this is the chance to be the most talented team I've ever managed in St. Louis. And he's like, no, let's slow down Chris Carpenter. Let's slow down Mike Matheny. All of the periphery numbers say that you're not very good. You beat up on the Reds. You beat up on the White Sox. You're not a very talented team. Like, I don't look at the Cardinals as being a legitimate threat to the Cubs, but the Cubs' offensive woes, if they could match what they've gotten from their pitching by the end of May, they could be in first place comfortably, and I'd very much like that to be the case.
And Sullivan, I think, third graph from the bottom, finally got to the reality. The Cubs have not lived up to expectations as well. I was wondering earlier in the week, why in the world is Paul Sullivan in St. Louis with the – well, he's warming up for the Cubs. That makes sense.
Yeah, he can make a trip for both.
Because he is Mr. Cubs. Sometimes his work should be in Vineline, not the Tribune. But I thought it was an interesting column, and he's right. Neither team has lived up to expectations thus far.
Yeah, but I think the Cardinals have exceeded them a little bit. Like, if you bet the Cardinals over this year, it was back to the VSiN conversation, it was probably mid-80s. They're 16-12. Like, they're playing at a way that's going – I think they're a half game back of the Brewers right now as it stands today.
I thought Sully made a good point of it, though, was that between the White Sox and Reds – the Cardinals are kind of beating the teams they're supposed to. They're 9-0 against those two, and then 7-12 against the rest of the league. And the Reds are, I mean, they fired their manager 3 weeks in. The White Sox were aware of what that outfit has been so far this year.
Whereas the Cubs are 6-1 against the division-leading Brewers.
7-1.
Don't 7
sell
and
them
one.
Short.
Thank you. Yeah. But they sure don't look like
they don't
first
play
place
like that
team.
Against anyone
no.
else.
No, they sure don't.
No, and then so it comes into which do you think is more indicative of who the team's really going to be and the recent sample size of what the Cubs have done in 2015, 16, and 17 suggest that they've got a lot of players on this current roster that are underperforming, whereas the Cardinals are beating up on some bad teams and over the course of a season are probably not going to be there.
Let's talk Cubs offense. You yesterday expressed some concern, misgivings, disappointment. The Cubs haven't hit enough home runs.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Now, look, the weather, the cold,
in terms
all those
of
factors,
runs scored and on base, offensively, they're not what we thought they would be, but I don't think they're as bad as you think. And something you might want to consider is they've played, there's only one team in baseball that's played fewer games than the Cubs, and that's the Twins. Cubs have only played, what, 28 games?
When I checked the home run numbers a few days ago, they had played the same number of games as the White Sox, and the Sox were 7th in baseball and the Cubs were 25th in baseball. And they are a team that was built to hit home runs that in the offseason decided to change some of their offensive approach with firing John Mailey and hiring Chili Davis. And cold weather, injuries, struggles, few games, not getting into a rhythm, there have been a ton of reasons why they haven't hit. So I'm not concerned that when we're sitting here in August, the Cubs are not going to have hit their fair share of home runs over the course of the summer. But I'm hopeful that Chili Davis's offensive ways of go the opposite way and all that sort of be aggressive early in counts, I hope it doesn't sap the power from the best hitters on the Cubs. I don't think it's going to, but the early returns haven't been there. And listen, this 8-game stretch has been weird. It's abnormal to hit as poorly as they have and go 5-3.
Yeah.
Like that's an abnormal thing. So the results have been fine. They survived April. They survived their injuries. They survived the weather. They survived all. The results are fine. They're right in the thick of things.
They need to. I think both teams, both the Cubs and the White Sox, need to be a lot more selective. I know on base percentage is huge in the Cubs' Bible. They like being on base, and Shep pointed out early in the season that lengthens a baseball game when you have base runners.
Yes, he did.
Listen to the score and learn. I think the Cubs are 23rd in baseball in walks only. Offensively, that's got to change.
Yeah, well,
and the White Sox are even worse.
Well, that's another part of the thing with the approach, right? See the pitch that you want and hit it and be aggressive and all that. And we got to give that way more time to play out, obviously.
Yes.
And so nothing about the Cubs in a big picture sense concerns me. Nothing. And I think I've been pretty clear on that. Again, it's the annoyances of we watch every game, we talk about most of them, and it's like, Chris Bryant is not, you know, you want to see him hit more home runs. I think he's going to. Wilson Contreras, the opening day cleanup hitter, you expect him to hit more home runs. He was on pace to hit 30 last year before he missed 29 games with the hamstring injury. So
conversely, Kyle Schwarber has hit 7 in only 81 at-bats. That's the best home run to at-bats ratio in baseball.
Well, I expect Kyle Schwarber to be a 40 home run hitter. Because he does lack other things. And in this era of baseball, where Mike Trout hit a ball 524 feet the other day.
And it left in a major hurry.
Yeah, that's why it's so damning, by the way. Like Jason Hayward, you know, hit 27 home runs his rookie year. Now everybody can hit home runs. The guy can't get to double digits. Like I understand that home runs are not everything in baseball, and you got to have guys on base, and the idea is you don't want to just rely on solo shots and all of that sort of thing. But the Cubs offense has not produced where they should. However they do it, whether it's stringing hits together or home runs or walks or however they're going to do it, they're not, you know, they've traditionally have been at the top of baseball in strikeouts, walks, and home runs and runs scored. This year, none of those things are the case. Obviously, it's good that they're not at the top of baseball in strikeouts, but the other things, I would like those things to return
again,
a little bit.
Let's look at the calendar. Let's take a deep breath. Cubs and Cardinals, it's going to be okay.
I know.
Everything's going to be fine.
They're going to win the division. They're on pace for like 94 wins or something like that. They're going to win the division comfortably. I still believe all of those things, but just, you know, the weather's nice. Let's go. Let's start hitting the ball over the yard. Let's start looking like the Cubs offensively. Because if they did, and they paired it with what this bullpen is doing right now, my whole thing is I don't want the games in September to matter as much as they did last year. Because I think that really hurt them in the playoffs.
Build a lead and go wire to wire and
get home field.
Cruise.
Don't have to play game 5 in Washington and then game 1 in LA. You know, like that to me is the difference between winning a division, making the NLCS, and potentially being rested for the playoffs so that you could be the hot team in October and win in a World Series. So no big picture concerns about getting to October, but don't let you know, no alligator blood here. Don't let the Cardinals hang around. Don't let the Brewers hang around.
Jake,
hit the ball over the damn wall. Stomp on him. Be up 5 games.
You tricked me.
On June 1st. Be up 10 games on July 1st. And let's coast into the playoffs so this team can, you know, go win a World Series.
Nothing wrong with being greedy in this golden age of Cubs baseball.
Be a dynasty. We're going to talk Ichiro, Machado, Cubs, Sox. We'll talk baseball with Jeff Passan next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.